What is a Christian? Some people, if approached with that question, would wonder if you wanted them to give a description or a definition. If I walked up to you and says, what is a little red wagon, what would you say? Perhaps you would begin by describing it, and then perhaps in describing it, tell some of the uses that it might have so that I might understand what it is. We need to know what a Christian is so that we can be identified properly. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Our text is Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And we're going to ask this question and then go to the Word of God and answer it. I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, and had seen the grace of God, and was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We're going to see that here we have a group of people called Christians. We'll see why here in just a little bit. But as we continue reading, we see that in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. This particular passage tells us a great number of things about Christians. What is a Christian? How one, as a Christian, will act. But most dictionaries define the word Christian as a person who believes in the doctrines of Jesus and acknowledges his divinity. That's a very broad definition. And in fact, the world would look at it from that standpoint. Man's definitions of a Christian and God's definition of a Christian are conflicting. Because man's definition of what is a Christian is very diverse. And the only definition that matters is God's, because he invented the word. He was the one who named his people, as we read in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. But let's go back in time to Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2 so that we might see that they were told that God's people, those who love God, those who serve God, those who obey God, would be given a new name. You see, as this was written to Isaiah, God only had one people, one nation. And this one nation had been chosen because of the faithfulness of Abraham to bring the Christ into the world whereby all men could be saved. And in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2, God gave his people, or prophesied that he would give his people a new name. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. At the time this was written, and the time that it was given unto Isaiah, God's people were known as Jews or Hebrews. They were also known as Israel. All definitions or descriptive terms of the same people. Those who were descendants of Abraham, who were the descendants of Israel, who were to serve God and to do His will. But we find a new name of God's people, one that God named in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And it says, "And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch." What does it mean to be a Christian? That goes right back to the definition. One cannot be a Christian unless they have heard God's word and obeyed it. Who've done those things which God's word says to do so that we might be a child of God. And being a child of God, joint heirs with Christ. Then we must continue to remain in it. If you were to go out this afternoon and ask the people you come in contact with, what is a Christian? You'd receive a number of different answers. Many of them would be much like the definition given in the dictionary. Or if you were to ask people, what does it take to become a Christian? Now you get into a big bucket of answers. Because different people have different ideas because they've been taught different things. But when we look to God's view, which is found in the Word of God, we find a very direct route, a very direct set of instructions how one might become a Christian. We read some of them in our reading this morning in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 20. In fact, I want you to look at verses 19 and 20 and see that those who were Christians, those who were disciples that were called Christians first in Antioch, had heard the gospel. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." It is important for us to realize and understand that as these people were scattered abroad, as these people were going about because of the persecutions, they went about preaching Jesus. We don't know the content of every sermon or every discussion, but we know what they did preach. They preached Jesus. And we know the result is that they heard the gospel. In fact, when Philip went down to Gaza and joined himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch, we are told simply he preached unto him Jesus. And he did so beginning at the very scripture which the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. As these people heard the gospel, they were able to have faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us how we are to have faith. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You cannot rightly obey what you've not heard. You cannot rightly obey what you've improperly heard. And so when these people came together in this place, and all these places in which these folks were scattered about preaching and teaching the gospel, they heard the gospel. One cannot become a Christian without hearing the gospel. Secondly, after they had heard the gospel, they believed the gospel. I don't know how many times I've sat down with people and opened the Word of God, pointed to a scripture, read the scripture, had them read the scripture to me, and then in an effort to discuss this, be appalled by the fact that they say, "Well, that's what it says, but I don't understand it the same way you do. I don't see it like you see it." My interpretation is these people heard the gospel, they believed the gospel. In verse 21 of Acts chapter 11, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." There are those that would read this particular passage and say, think that it said that the Lord was with them, caused them to believe the gospel. That's not true at all. A great number of them believed and turned to the Lord because they heard the gospel. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, while Jesus was here on the earth, he told his disciples that they must believe on him. He said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." If we believe, we will obey. If we truly believe, we will obey. Thirdly, they turn to the Lord. God did not make them. The world is full of misconceptions about Christianity. That God reaches out and chooses and picks this person or that person to be saved. That this person or that person to enable them to obey the gospel. That's not what the Bible teaches. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 21, we see that what happened after this great number believed, they turned unto the Lord. They themselves made the choice to be obedient. For us to have the idea that Christians are made because God looks down and chooses people makes God a respecter of persons and makes us void of free moral agency. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we see directions given to these people whereby we might know that it is our choice and our choice alone whether or not we want to be Christians. Whether or not we're willing to do those things which the Bible says that one must do in order to become a child of God and to remain in a good covenant relationship with God. It says there, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." To repent means to turn away. In order for us to repent, to be converted, we must choose to turn away and turn to the Lord. So these that heard the gospel, believed the gospel, they turned to the Lord. And as they turned to the Lord and were obedient, they were added to the Lord. There in verse 24 you see it. It tells us about Barnabas, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And of course he was going about and teaching and preaching the gospel. And as a result, there were many people added, or much people was added unto the Lord. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, we see the wonderful results of the first gospel meeting, the first gospel sermon, in which all these people were gathered about and had the opportunity to hear the word of God. We see then they that gladly received his word, how did they receive it? Through hearing it. They were baptized. Why were they baptized? Because they believed the gospel. And the gospel commanded that they to be baptized. And when they were baptized, we see in the latter part of verse 41, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I submit to you this morning that everyone that heard, that believed, that repented, that confessed, and that were baptized for the remission of sins were added to the church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we can see who did the adding. It was God. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those who heard, those who believed, those who repented, those who confessed before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and were baptized. After hearing, believing, turning to the Lord, being added to the Lord, they cleaved unto the Lord. This is important. There are those that are out there today claiming to be Christians who do not cleave to the Lord. What then is cleave? In verse 23, we see this used in this sentence. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. By definition, cleave means to adhere firmly and closely and loyally and unwaveringly. I have had the interesting opportunity to hold an octopus underwater. A little bit afraid, but it was a small one. It wasn't what you see on the movies with these big, giant, long tentacles and that sort of thing. But if you want to know what cleave is, try to get an octopus off of your arm. Because every time you take one tentacle off and you let go of it and grab another tentacle, that tentacle wraps itself back around. I had to have help. I didn't want to make him mad. I didn't know what he might do. But that octopus cleaved to me. We as Christians should cleave to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, we'll see there are many different reasons why people might follow the Lord. In Jesus' day, we see there he called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Jesus had compassion upon them because of their desire to be with him, to hear him. They risk personal health to follow Christ and to hear him. Those who sometimes claim to be Christians today find it just a little bit difficult and say, I'm done. I quit. It's too hard. Sometimes when faced with the truth of the gospel and the directness of the gospel, they say it's too hard. I can't do this anymore. A true Christian will do it because they love the Lord. Speaking about love, a Christian is someone who shows the love of God in his heart. We sang the song, I Love the Lord. A lot of times people sing the songs, I Love the Lord, or Oh, How I Love Jesus. And their actions don't speak the same as what's coming out of their face. These Christians, they told how by the things they did. In Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, we'll see that they desired to help those in need. Brother Brandon mentioned this morning that there are those in our communities that have need. And we do have a bit of a pantry whereby we might assist them. And we should do so because we are Christians, because we want to show the love of God toward them. Agabus stood up in verse 28 and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. These disciples, notice in verse 29, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Jerusalem or Judea. What did they do? They said, well, you know, we love them. We hate that it's going on so bad for them. No, they put their love to work. They put it into action. We see in verse 30, which also they did and sent it unto the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. There are a lot of people, Christians and non-Christians, that are guilty of saying they're going to do something and then they don't do it. We have relatives who will invariably say, that the beans are burning, I'll call you right back. Well, I start looking in the newspaper in the town in which they live to see if their house burnt down because they never call back. And that's just a small thing. But if we're going to do something or say that we're going to do something, let's do it. Let's put it into action. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, we see that the Corinthian brethren had done this, and Paul mentions this in that particular passage. He says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do so, but also to be forward a year ago. They had put their love into effect, into action. They did. And you could see the love of God in them. A Christian is someone who follows God's pattern. There are many today who claim to be Christians who refuse to follow the pattern of God when it comes to worship, when it comes to living, when it comes to life itself. These people, as we'll see in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, they honored God's pattern for worship. Notice it said, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. That means they came together to worship, to serve. And while they were there, they taught much people. They did not come together to socialize. They did not come together to put together programs to entertain. They came and taught much people. As a result, we'll see that they fit the name. They were called Christians. They also honored God's pattern for church authority. Earlier we were talking about them putting their love into action. Notice what these people did. They did, and they sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. These elders were those that were put in this place that met the qualifications and were overseeing the church. God established this system. He put it in place. God established the way that the church is to be governed, the way that it is to work, the way that it is to function, the way that it is to grow. What is a Christian? Just because you consider yourself to be a Christian doesn't mean that you are one. What matters is whether or not God considers you a Christian. We read about the judgment and we see two responses. We see one response with those who have been obedient and faithful. It says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We see another response, and there will be those that receive this particular response that would like to think of themselves as Christians. But they'll stand before the judgment bar of God, and the great judge Jesus Christ will look down upon them and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why? Because they applied the world's definition of Christian instead of God's definition of Christian. If indeed this morning you wish to be a Christian by God's definition, thereby placing you into the kingdom, you must hear the gospel. You must obey it. You must show your love for others and honor the pattern that God has established for worship and for life. What is it that you must do? The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that we must hear. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It teaches us in Mark 16:16 that we must believe. Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those people, having heard that first gospel sermon, ask, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Let me make this crystal clear. Notice what came first. Repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you do not repent, there's no need to be baptized. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 teaches us that we are to confess. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then we're to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that baptism saves us. There are those today who are trying to wear the name Christian who are claiming that it's not necessary to be baptized. Well, what are you going to do with this passage? "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Having done these things, are you hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized? Yes, you can say, "I am a Christian." But then how do you remain a Christian? The truth of the matter is, once you become a Christian, you're always a Christian. But what we should ask ourselves, how can I remain a faithful Christian? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, we are to live faithful unto death. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." You live today in one of three conditions. one of four conditions. If you're not reached the age of accountability, you're in a safe condition. If indeed you have reached the age of accountability, you're in one of three conditions. You are either lost, not having obeyed the gospel. You are either lost or faithful, having obeyed the gospel. Or you have become unfaithful because you've not served God. The good news is that you can do something about it today. We're going to stand and sing an invitation song. As we begin to do so, and as we do so, I want you to ask yourself, am I a Christian? Am I a faithful Christian? And if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, we ask you to do so as together we stand and sing.